I'm joined on the line by Dean Aslett, who is Quiet Storm. Are you there?
Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. Now, we're going to be talking to you about the debut album you've got coming out, entitled Quiet Storm as well, which is going to be released this autumn. And then we're going to be playing out the single Show Me. We've already played out For the People a little bit earlier in the day. So I have to say, Yasu Enabira Parakalo.
Palomera.
There we go. That's anything. What's it like out there at the moment?
It is baking hot, and there's no wind. Mykonos is known as the island of wind, but it's deserted us for a week now. I don't think it's coming back to Tuesday.
Oh, right.
Next Tuesday.
Oh, we're all very...
It's in its 90s, so...
Oh, lovely.
You know, we'll get through it, I'm sure.
Now, we're going to talk about the album and the single in a little while. Just wanted to sort of talk about how you got involved in music. You come from a musical background, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about growing up.
At a very young age, my grandmother ran a dancing school in Brixton, South London, for children. And when I say dancing school, it incorporated ballet, tap, jazz, that kind of thing. And she's a very talented pianist as well. And she put on shows on a regular basis. And I suppose, I think it was a novelty, because I have a twin brother, an identical twin brother, and she thought it was sweet for us to be on stage. So we're always hauled up onto stage at a very young age and kind of doing covers of stuff that she enjoyed, kind of pre-Beatles things like Bing Crosby, Al Johnson, Tuxedo Junction, that kind of stuff, really. So yeah. I kind of developed a love for performing at a very young age, I suppose.
And do you think with sort of growing up and when you get to sing loads of different styles of music, it actually helps the vocal as well?
I think so. I mean, not just my grandparents, but my father was very much into kind of like old school stuff, like I just said, Bing Crosby, Al Johnson, Cole Porter, and the Brat Pack. Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra. And I suppose when I started keyboard lessons at a young age as well, my father was very much keen on me to kind of perform the music he enjoyed. Anything before the Beatles, really. So I suppose it was the era he grew up in. But I kind of developed a love for crooners. And funnily enough, not just the Brat Pack, but then the Iglesias and kind of music I grew up on, really.
And you were saying your music is quite heavily influenced by growing up in the 80s, of having that kind of those sort of years with electronica.
Sorry, the line's breaking.
Oh, sorry, can you hear me? I can hear you nice and clear. Sounds like you're next door. I'm saying when you were growing up, you were saying you were quite inspired by the music of the 80s, sort of late 80s.
Oh, yes. I mean, I suppose when I was playing keyboards, I used to go for lessons in South Croydon into a music store, and there were all these kind of machines at the time, you know, early synthesizers, analog synthesizers, and, you know, I became fascinated with that side of it, electronic music, from a very young age, really. My brother had an album called Out of This World by the BBC Radiophonic Workshop, and it was basically all the sound effects that the BBC were doing for series at the time, like Doctor Who, Quatermass. They were very innovative with their sounds and the techniques they were using, and I suppose from then I kind of gravitated into that kind of electronic music, Brian Eno, you know, things of that genre, really.
I think sometimes we take for granted now that, you know, when you've got things like when samplers and things first came out, how amazing they were for musicians at the time.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there wasn't any sampling when I was, 30 years ago. And I think, even when it kind of sampling came into effect in the late 80s, you could only do a 30-second sample with that. Everything like the early emulators, Fairlights, they're considered prehistoric now, but they also have a wonderful warmth. I think it's the oscillators inside them that give that. And funnily enough, I have a lot of outboard equipment as well as stuff that you can get from the internet, but I quite like using old kit as well, because it has a certain character to it, a certain way.
Actually sit down and start the songwriting process, what do you do? Do you put down sort of drums or you play keys? How do you start writing?
Well, I kind of write normally at night time. I like to create an atmosphere. I can't write in the day, so it's usually after a glass or two of wine. I just sit down at the keyboards and I keep it quite simple, really. I just put on the drum loop and I kind of just groove into it, just coming up normally with a chord progression.
Yep.
Sometimes, you know, nothing really happens and you can sit there, you know, day after day and nothing will happen at all, and then you have a moment of inspiration.
Yep.
And you come up with some chords. I may invite my friend Matthew round, who's a guitarist, and we jam as well. And then if we do come up with anything that we ultimately use, it normally happens very quickly. So, I don't know, the song will just channel its way, and I won't have normally the lyric complete or by any means, but the basic melody will be there, and the verse and chorus. So it's pretty much the spine to the kind of song, really. I then will listen back to it in a day or two's time, and then I suppose over a period it just dates, and then I hone in on the lyrics. The lyrics take me a long time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, some songs I've not managed to complete within years, really, and they're on the back burner. And so until the lyric is finished, I don't really go into the studio with the song.
Yeah.
But once I go into the studio, that's where all the fun begins, because it's the arrangement. Well, when I say fun, the torture, I suppose, Michelle.
It's never been
that easy for me, you know.
Is it something, when you're in the studio, is it because it is you and it's your product, is it difficult to sort of let it go, to let somebody else engineer or produce?
Absolutely. There's such a personal attachment to it that I will, I will fight hand over fist to get the way I want it to be. I won't compromise.
Yep.
Having said that, I've got a great production team now of two producers that I've started working with on a regular basis now. People that I knew before, but I wasn't really working with them, or I've lost touch with them, but I'm back in touch with them. And so for the last year, it's been great, because they've really come in and help me define the songs. I mean, they've been great in that respect. I don't know what I'd do without them.
Now, you are living on Mykonos, as I said earlier, which is a beautiful island in Greece. I mean, Greece is just one of my favourite places in the world. I've been to lots of the islands, never Mykonos. But does the environment affect your creativity? Could you write as much over here than you could in Mykonos, or is it just that way of life? It's very creative and, you know...
It's just something, you know. I came here in 1988 with my ex-songwriting partner, who's now tragically died, but we both came here as young adults and fell in love with the island almost overnight. And the experiences that we had and the atmosphere from the island, it really helped us kind of define the kind of songs that we wrote, or I write now. It's very much inspired by Mykonos, my music. I think it's the kind of music that, you know, when I go out into the evenings and I hear, there's something about the music. It's not stuff that you'd normally hear at home as well in the UK. It's very European. It's a mixture of different things. But yeah. I pick up on all that, and I am inspired.
Now, the album Quiet Storm, titled Quiet Storm, is going to be released in the autumn. How many tracks are on the album, and how long has it taken you to sort of put everything together?
There's 10 tracks on the album, and it's a mixture of songs that I've written quite a while ago, and as well as new songs. When I started the project 2 years ago, I thought it was going to be a lot of songs that I had written recently. But then what's happened is it's kind of separated now into two projects. There will be a follow-up album as well. That's the scoop, Michelle. There is a follow-up album. And yeah. I started recording out in Mykonos when I moved here approximately a year ago. We recorded over 23 songs. So there will be a follow-up album as well.
Now, I played out for the people earlier. Tell everybody just a little bit about that track.
Oh, that track was a complete accident, Michelle. I basically, I'd come back from Hong Kong 4 or 5 years ago after quite a difficult period. And returning to England, I wrote an album, really. I wrote it very quickly within a couple of weeks. There was a song, it's not on the new album, called The Angel on the Avenue, and the original demo, I'd been jogging around Battersea Park, and I'd put it onto an old-fashioned audio tape that then I used to record to cassette, which I don't do anymore. I'd use GarageBand, but anyway, for some reason in my bag, the demo got erased, and in my blind panic, I quickly realised this within half an hour of it happening, and I thought, well, I'd better go back to my house and try to remember what I'd done for the demo before I forgot it, because it's always that kind of thing, if you don't capture it instantaneously, you're going to forget it. So I had it, luckily I've listened to it quite a lot of times, but I'd only created it a few weeks before, and it kind of stuck in my head. But when I got back to my apartment, I started, I just switched on my keyboards, I switched on the drum machine in a blind panic. But then this other song started to come out, and that's what's become For the People. And it was, wrote it, and it was kind of like very, I suppose you may pick up, and it's quite a John Lennon feel to it. And it was quite different to what I normally do. And I played it to some people, and including the fashion designer Anthony Price, and he said, "Oh, it's quite powerful, Dean. You've got to go and record this one." So I kind of started recording it a few years ago, but like a lot of my songs, it's changed, and it hasn't changed. It's just evolved over a period of time.